Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Cyber Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, we're going deep. They can no longer hide or explain away the number of vaccinated people who have died suddenly. For a little while, they were able to keep things under wraps as the Biden administration secretly colluded with mainstream media and social media, censoring everybody who dared to speak the truth when the death rate started rising, with young people spontaneously dying. Narratives were written and rewritten to attempt to keep up. Then, in a classic case of hysterical overreach, they rolled out something called sudden adult death syndrome, and that's when the wheels started coming off the bus. The bus has since crashed into the concrete dividers, and that brings us here to day 987 of 15 days to flatten the curve. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we're going to show you the facts, the figures, and the horrific numbers that are so compelling that even the New World Order cannot deny their existence. I have watched endless videos of newscasters, sports stars, and young people around the world caught on tape, falling over dead like so many birds falling off of a wire. Now, we told you this was going to come. We warned you as far back as 2020, right here on this podcast. Today, we bring you the sickening proof of people who have died suddenly from something that is so explosive, this article will be banned if I say it. All this and more on this special edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up today, Lord. We're glad, we're grateful. Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the clothes on our back. Thank you for the roof over our head, Lord. Most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our salvation today. Lord, we pray for Annetta. She wants for us to pray for her for a complete healing that she could walk again after a stroke. And we're also praying for her husband's salvation. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. We're praying for marriages today. Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Cephas and his wife, and Nightwatch Autist and his wife. Karen Robinson would like prayers for her dad who had a stroke a couple of weeks ago. Dale Parks needs prayer for a healing from bladder cancer. Dina Kruger's mom, Marcy, is battling colon cancer. Elena Blackburn is expecting, and we're praying that she'll be able to give birth to a healthy baby. Kathy Kelly is would like prayers for her sister, Donya, who's been diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver, and Kathy's husband, Dennis, may be called on to donate a portion of his liver. Stacy Bunton, we're praying for a good test result on Thursday, and prayers for her husband's salvation. Jeanette's cousin, Andrew, just had a stroke and he needs prayer. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back. We're praying for him. Ashley is pregnant and addicted to meth. We are praying for a complete recovery and for salvation for Ashley. Joe and Linda Lapinia, we are praying for their family. The Lord knows the need. We're also praying for Lori Ann as she closes on her house within the next 2 weeks, that the Lord would continue to lead and guide that process all the way home. Mia from Texas, please pray for our finances. We are in a big pinch, and my husband, Chris McLean, needs work. Please keep this on the prayer list. Amen. We will. Matt Morgan, please add my dad to the prayer list. He has late stage 4 prostate cancer, Parkinson's disease, and is in the hospital for pulmonary edema. Please pray for a complete healing. Thank you in advance, and we'll be happy to do that. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, and we just ask you to work and move as only you can. Answer these prayers according to your will, Lord, for your glory, for our good. And Father God, if you don't give it to us, we won't have it. If you don't do it, it won't get done. And we just throw ourselves at your feet and cry mercy and grace, Lord, and wash us clean in your shed blood. Mike Crabb says, touch them all, Father. Amen. Amen. Annabelle, please pray for me and my wife, Vilma. We got sick after Thanksgiving. Kyle Gorzel is still recovering from a stomach bug, but his wife and daughter are doing fine. So, Lord, we commit all these prayers to you and ask you to work and move, Lord, as only you can. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. I just got a text message that two good friends of mine, Brother Steve and Big John, they're across the street at the bookstore right now. And haven't seen Big John in a couple of years. I remember him coming down to the streets to street preach with us and hand out gospel tracts, and he's a blessing. And Brother Steve is one of my very first street preachers. And I love when I get to spend time with brothers like that. So, Brother Steve and Big John, if you're listening, I'm really, really glad that you're at the bookstore. Make sure you tell them to give you 20% off today. And I'm so glad to be here today. We have a Cyber Monday sale that is really fantastic, and it's been going on since 12:01 a.m. last night, and many of you have been taking advantage of the great sale prices that we have on Bible commentaries, book bundles, and Ruckman Reference Bibles, and some really, really good deals, some great specials. And that sale is going to be in effect till midnight tonight. So if you've been waiting for a really good time to get yourself some Bible commentaries from Ruckman, Larkin, some great books from Chick Publishing, from Bill Grady, from Clarence Larkin, from Gail Ripplinger, if you've been waiting for the best possible sale, today's the day. Go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out, and I hope that sale will be a blessing to you. But you can save a lot of money on some really good Bibles, commentaries, and study helps. All right, all right. Where do we start first with today's program? I borrowed the title of today's podcast from a new documentary that was launched last week called Died Suddenly. And we're not going to be playing clips from that documentary because we're doing our own program, but I just kind of used their title and I borrowed it as inspiration. Now, if you've been a regular reader of Now the End Begins, you know, and we have paid a tremendous price for doing this type of reporting. You know that we have told you from the very beginning about the highly suspicious and very coincidental deaths of high-profile people that occurred within 7 to 14 days after they received the Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. And when we reported on these things back in 2021, we lost our entire 10-year Facebook channel because of articles like this. Tommy Hearns reveals that boxing legend Marvelous Marvin Hagler died in intensive care after fighting the effects of the COVID-19 vaccine. That happened in March of 2021, and we brought you these stories about people who died suddenly. This is nothing new. If you've been following Now the End Begins for any length of time, we've been telling you this in real time. We've been telling you these things as they took place. Now, when boxing champion, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, received his vaccine, he died the same weekend that he got vaccinated. The same weekend that he got vaccinated, he died of a massive heart attack, even though he was in really, really good shape. I can remember as a teenage boy watching baseball legend Hank Aaron, and he hit number 715, and he broke or tied Babe Ruth's home run record, and it was absolutely fantastic. I remember cheering him around the bases when I was a teenager. Well, last year, Hank Aaron decided to take one for the team, and he went on TV, and he was photographed and videoed with his sleeve rolled up, still in very good shape. If you look at the picture, they're injecting his arm, and his arm looks toned and muscular. Hank Aaron looked like he kept himself in really pretty good shape. Well, 15 days after he had that photo op of being vaccinated with a government injection, he died. So we've been telling you from the very beginning about people who have died suddenly. We've told you the story about the Brazilian news anchor who collapsed of a heart attack shortly after becoming double vaccinated. And then he had three more heart attacks on the way to the hospital. And I could go on and on and on about stories that we have already brought to you about people who have died suddenly, or people who have had massively adverse reactions after receiving the government injection. Now, I want to show you a graphic if you're in the chat room. And if you're not in the chat room, I'm just going to tell you about this graphic. But there is a website run by the CDC called the CDC VAERS website. And VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, stands for Vaccine Adverse Reaction Reporting System. And this is actually, it's a really good thing. It's a website where people can go and they can say, hey, I just got a flu shot and I got sick. I just got a polio shot and I got sick. And it really is a very wonderful tool that the CDC created. But as it turned out to be a little bit too wonderful of a tool when the numbers started to reveal a very different type of story. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about today, and this is from the VAERS website. And none of what I'm going to give you today, none of what I'm going to give you is speculation, conspiracy theory. Everything that I'm going to give to you today is extremely provable. Now, I want you to look at that graphic that I just put into the chat room. This is as of November 18th of 2022. And I want you to look. The chart starts in 1990, and all the way from 1990 to 2020, that's 30 years, the number of people who reported a death after receiving medicine or a vaccine stayed almost consistent for 30 years. 50 people, 100 people. In 2017, 2018, and then 2019, you had a lot of people who were reporting having reactions from the flu shot. But from 1990 all the way to 2020, it stayed almost flat. And you can see in that graphic that I just posted, 30 years worth of documentation. In the end of 2020, they rolled out the government injection. Take a look at the year 2021. That year, they reported over 22,000 1,000 deaths at the hands of the vaccine. And then in 2022, they have reported approximately 11,500. But just take a look at that graph. Now, if you're not on our website right now, if you are not in the chat room, just go to a website called openvaers.com, OpenVaers.com, and go to the COVID data section, openvaers.com/COVID-data. And all the information that they have on that website is taken directly from the CDC website. So the first thing that I want to show you is that in 2021, people began to die suddenly. You had 30 years of very, very consistent numbers, and they're all about the same. And then in 2021, something was introduced into the mix that drastically and radically changed the complexion of everything. Take a listen to this clip. Have you been injected with a bioweapon?
We were trained that the one thing that prevented adversaries from deploying bioweapons was that in order for them to have a strategic impact, our enemy would have to have a delivery mechanism that would allow them to expose a large enough population of people in a short enough period of time before the people knew they were being attacked. Dispersion in the air would be cumbersome and ineffective given UV light dispersion wind patterns. Likewise, attempting to put them in water would have limited effectiveness because of dilution, degradation from chloride, etc. But what if? What if hundreds of millions of people would willingly or under the duress of fear allow themselves to be injected with a bioweapon? What if global mass vaccination could be accomplished in a short period of time by applying relentless coercion tactics and psychological operations to demoralize people into submission?
Now, isn't that an interesting question? Have you already been injected with a bioweapon? I'm not saying that you have. I'm not accusing Big Pharma of creating bioweapons. I'm just simply asking you a question. Is it possible, if you've been vaccinated or you have been boosted, or God forbid, you have been double vaxxed and double boosted, is it possible that you have been injected with a bioweapon? Well, I can't answer that question because I don't know. But I think as we begin to talk about these things, it's a very, very good question to want to answer. Have you been injected with a bioweapon? Now, before we go forward, I want to play a clip for you. Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. And this is, I don't know, this clip is like 40 years old. I want you to listen to how different our country was back in the 1970s and 1980s. I'm not talking about the good old days. I'm talking about how different we thought back in the 1970s and 80s. I'm talking about how people trusted the news media because there was, at the very least, there was a perception that they were being told the truth most of the time. That's what the perception was. Now, I'm not saying that the news media hasn't always been corrupt, but I can remember back in the 1970s as a newspaper boy, I delivered the Herald News on my bicycle, had about 32 customers that I 6 days a week brought a newspaper to. And so I was always very interested in the news. And I can remember back in the 70s and the 80s and even into part of the 90s, I had a general sense that Most of the time, we were being told the truth. Take a listen to this story that Mike Wallace did on a program called 60 Minutes. This is decades ago. But listen to what Mike Wallace is about to tell you.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways.
So, if you were paying attention to what Mike Wallace just told you, is that when they rolled out this flu vaccine 45 years ago, and there was hundreds of people, if not a couple of thousand people, who began to experience adverse reactions, the people got up in arms. And they demanded that the government stop handing out these flu vaccines. And they sued the United States government, and they sued them for damages. So then what did they do in the 1980s? Well, they passed a law that says that pharmaceutical companies cannot be sued if you take their vaccine and it goes bad. Now, isn't that a long way down from that clip that I just played for you from Mike Wallace? Back in the 1970s, this country was awake and they were aware. And when wacky things started happening, they called out the government. The government was forced to confess. But then they simply regrouped is what they did. And then they passed that law that said that pharmaceutical companies cannot be sued if you have a negative reaction to the vaccine that they just injected you with. Well, I want to tell you about a story that took place on July 26th of 2021. July 26th of 2021. A healthcare worker in Minnesota was forced to take the vaccine. She didn't want to take it, but they told her that if you don't take it, you can't keep your job. Her name is Jumai Nashe, and she's a medical worker from Minneapolis. And she was told that if she did not take the government injection, she would be immediately fired from her job. So Jumai Nashe, a medical assistant from Minneapolis, she took the first dose and she took the second dose. A few days after, 5 days after the second dose, her husband, Philip, rushed her to the hospital because she had chest pains. And then before that you could blink, she developed something called multiple inflammatory syndrome. By the time that it was all done, parts of her body were amputated. She got gangrene. And she received this situation shortly after having her second shot. So I find it fascinating. Mike Wallace is telling you about in the 1970s, there was outrage over the flu vaccine. People were getting sick from it. People were dying from it. The people demanded that the government stop producing it. They sued the government. And then you flash forward all the way to last year, and you have people demanding that you take it, telling lies about the vaccine. Remember when Joe Biden said this on July 21st of 2021?
But I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you, because sure. You know the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really, sure around is. The world, but especially around America. New cases are up three times since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that this that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that still
the virus? Look, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination. It's that basic, that simple. 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them, or thereabouts, are people who hadn't been vaccinated. This is a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. So it's gigantically important that you act like, we all act like Americans or care about our.
So back on July 21st of 2021, pretend President Joe Biden, he told you, and CNN agreed with him, the fact checkers agreed with him, and they said that if you got this vaccine, you would not die if you got COVID. In fact, you wouldn't catch COVID. And if you did catch COVID, it wouldn't be bad at all. And if it was bad, you wouldn't die from it. Now, we expect Democrats to lie to us. But how about this clip? 6 months later, December of 2021, Donald Trump saying exactly the same thing.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. But now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from, this is a good thing and people should have this option, to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden.
That's right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
So there you have Donald Trump repeating exactly the same lies that Joe Biden said in that CNN town hall back in July. So if the Democrats are lying and the Republicans are lying and the news media is covering up for them, how is it possible that you and I are ever going to know the truth about what's going on? Well, I want to tell you about a story that we did on November 2nd, and this was a story that was absolutely shocking. Shocking because they actually published this story. And you would think that there would be unbelievable outrage all across America, but sadly, there was not. What story am I talking about? On November 2nd of this year, we gave you an article called Leaked Documents Show That Major Social Media Conspired with the Biden Administration to Suppress the Free Exchange of Information During the Pandemic. So, we live in a time period, and this is why that I wanted to play that clip for you from Mike Wallace, so you could see how unbelievably far that we have fallen as a nation, as a people, as thinking people who used to use their brains. Now they don't use their brains anymore. In 2021, the Biden administration colluded and conspired. Everybody talks about conspiracy theory like it's just some imaginary thing. And yet, in 2021, leaked documents show that Facebook and Twitter conspired with the Biden administration to deplatform, censor, and remove any information that they felt went counter to the narrative that they were putting out. And this article is from ABC 15 News. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt and Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry filed a lawsuit earlier this year seeking to uncover collusion between major social media companies and the federal government to censor free speech around topics such as COVID-19. The court subsequently compelled the Biden administration to turn over communications between federal officials and social media platforms, which, according to Schmidt, revealed an extensive censorship enterprise between multiple government agencies and social media platforms. As it turned out, Facebook and Twitter created special portals for the government to rapidly request takedowns of content. The portals, along with NGO partners, used to censor a wide range of content, including obvious parody accounts and content disagreeing with government pandemic policy. According to the documents, the government reporting system, that's what they called it. And you think 1984 is a novel. In 2021, 1984 became a how-to manual for the New World Order. According to the documents, the government reporting system could be accessed via a specific web address with an approved government or law enforcement email address. So what they did throughout the entirety of the Biden administration during the pandemic, they colluded with social media, and the government and social media worked hand in hand to strip away our constitutionally guaranteed right of free speech. And we were suspended about 3 or 4 times on Twitter. We lost our 10-year-old Facebook channel with hundreds of thousands of followers that was just simply unpublished, and it was unpublished due to this collusion between the Biden administration and social media. Now, you might say to yourself, well, who cares about social media? 10 times the amount of people. No, I take that back. 100 times the amount of people that read a newspaper or watch the nightly news. 100 times more people are on social media. If you remember hearing about back in the end of the 19th century when they invented the telegraph and Marconi, and they sent out that those Morse code messages, and then that turned into telegrams, and then that turned into radio programs, and then that turned into television programs. Well, if you think about a newspaper today, a newspaper is the equivalent of a radio program compared to what social media can do. I can remember back in the 1970s when I was a newspaper boy, there were 3 main times during the day in large cities, in every city across America, they put out the morning edition newspaper at 6 o'clock. They give you a noon update, and then they had the 6 o'clock news. And then when TV news got popular in the 1960s and 70s, everybody watched the 6 o'clock news. One of the people on the 6 o'clock news, he was called the most trusted man in America. His name was Walter Cronkite. And he was called the most trusted man in America. You want to hear what the most trusted man in America said shortly after he retired? And he was being given some sort of an award from a humanitarian association. Take a listen to what Walter Cronkite, the man who for 4 decades was called the most trusted man in America, take a listen to what Walter Cronkite said about the news.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
I'm in a position to speak my mind, and by God, I'm going to do it. First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Today, we must develop federal structures on a global level. To deal with world problems, we need a system of enforceable world law, a democratic federal world government. Most important, we should sign and ratify the Treaty for a Permanent International Criminal Court. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
All right, so that was Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, telling you how much he despised the idea of King Jesus coming back to set up 1,000 years of righteous government, telling you that he's happy to sit at the right hand of Satan, and telling you that you need to prepare to give up some of your sovereignty in the coming days. Well, you know what? That's exactly what started in 2020. The giving up of American sovereignty. And they took it from me, and they took it from you, and then that spread to every other nation on the face of the earth. So, if you're just tuning in, the topic of our program today, we're talking about people who have died suddenly after receiving the COVID vaccine. It's not a vaccine. There's a man by the name of Stefan Ulrich. He's the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Let him tell you what this vaccine actually is. This is from last year.
Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. Those that take the leap to drive innovation in a really meaningful way and invest and take the risk to invest in R&D will also attain sustainability by creating job security and creating prosperity for those that take the investment. I think this is really important also for these latitudes here.
So that was the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, the fine folks that brought you Zyklon B that killed all those people in the Holocaust. And I say fine folks sarcastically because they are not fine folks. And he just told you that the COVID vaccine is not a vaccine. It is cell and gene therapy. That's what it is. And when you talk to the scientists, when you talk to the pharmaceutical people, that's exactly what they agree that it is as well. Now, I want you to hear from a woman by the name of Dr. Ovita Fuller. She is an FDA virologist, and this is what she had to say during the height of the pandemic after the vaccines were rolled out. Take a listen, take a good listen to Dr. Ovita Fuller, an FDA virologist.
Completely sold.
What does that mean for long-term effects? What does that mean for long-term effects?
The ones that you're hearing about are messenger RNA vaccines, and they have are the ones that have, that at least the one that's gotten approval in the UK, and the ones that are coming before the FDA are all messenger RNA vaccines. So you don't even get the virus. It's just a small piece of genetic material in a little lipid bag that gets put into your arm, and the body responds to that. So they are very, 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 very safe. They're as safe as any vaccine and maybe safer than many. So yes, they're safe for getting it. What we do not know is the long-term effects after getting it. But my guess, and you know, I can only guess because nobody's done that science yet, is that even these vaccines long-term won't cause a problem because they're just the RNA.
In fact, it was the...
So there you have Dr. Ovita Fuller, and last year she's an FDA virologist, and she's telling you that you don't have to worry about taking this vaccine. It's just a little shot. It's just a little bag of lipids. It's just a little snippets of programming code. You don't have to worry about it. And Dr. Ovita Fuller gave a full-throated endorsement of the government injection. Let's see how it worked out.
Pfizer vaccine, she happily rolled up her sleeve to receive when it was her turn. And so for a woman who understands the power of the word no, she urges everyone to come to a place to say yes.
We don't want people to get sick. We don't want people to die. And these vaccines do the job.
We've also learned this evening that Dr. Ovita Fuller has died. She's the internationally renowned virologist from Ann Arbor who was instrumental in securing the emergency use authorizations for the three COVID vaccines. Dr. Fuller passed away yesterday morning after a brief illness that was not COVID related.
America's physicians, like the real leaders of American medicine, the people you trust for your cancer care and your heart care and your pediatrics care, are out there telling you need to go get a vaccine. You can decide to trust America's physicians or you can trust some random dude on Twitter.
So you just heard from Dr. Ovita Fuller. She's a former FDA virologist, and she dropped dead after taking the vaccine. But I'm sure it had nothing to do with the vaccine. It was just amazingly coincidental that she died shortly after getting vaccinated, and she had no outstanding health issues. How about this? Death rates in 2021 went up 40% in the 18 to 49-year-old category. Now, can you think of anything that might have happened in the year 2021 as opposed to the years 1990 through 2020 that might somehow be a root cause of death rates between 18 to 49-year-old people going up 40% in 1 year? Take a listen to this.
My name is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, and I've been invited here today to testify to the truth before the legislators of Idaho. The information I'm presenting is made as a protected communication under Title 10 USC 1034 as a whistleblower. My opinions are my own and do not reflect that of the United States Army, the DOD, or any entity thereof.
Insurance companies figured that if there was something catastrophic that happened to the United States, they would see a 10% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality. 10% for just like an unprecedented, catastrophic, you know, natural event or something that happened in the United States.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds.
40% is no one's even calculated that. I mean, that's never been factored into what things would look like. It's apocalyptic.
In my 15 years as a doctor taking care of soldiers, I have never seen this litany of debilitating and potentially deadly medical conditions in soldiers. These conditions included strokes, transient ischemic attacks, pericarditis, myocarditis, erratic heart rates, arrhythmias, rapid onset and progression of various cancers to include testicular cancer, esophageal cancer, brain tumors, neuroendocrine tumors, spinal tumors, thyroid dysfunction, multiple sclerosis, cognitive impairment, persistent severe insomnia, suppression of the immune system, unprovoked blood clots in the splenic and portal vein, avascular necrosis, liver dysfunction, menstrual irregularities, and miscarriages.
So there you have it. That is from a whistleblowing nurse. And what she saw with her own eyes, she had to step forward. She had to invoke the Government Whistleblower Protection Act. And then you just heard what she said, that a 10% increase in all-cause morbidity would be catastrophic, would be apocalyptic. And in 2021, we had 40% increase in all-cause morbidity in the 18 to 49-year-old category. Now, let's go to a different category. Let's go to babies. Let's go to unborn babies. Take a listen to what these nurses have to say about what they saw when they were dealing with pregnant, vaccinated mothers. Take a listen to this.
I started really paying attention. I noticed these health problems increasing. I noticed that these mothers were getting the vaccine. So I already noticed that these increase of fetal demises were happening, but no one was really saying anything about them. Then I got this email, a horrific email, in September. The person who sent it, there's no way that they don't know. The email said, as you all know, we've had an increase in fetal demises, and in the month of August, we've had a record number of fetal demises, and that there were 22 for the month of August. So we went from having one or two every month or so, and then the shots rolled out, and then the last year and a half, we have around 20 per month. And in this email, it said that they were projected to increase. And so the worst part about this is it said, you need to brush up on your policies so that you know how to handle a dead baby. It wasn't even about, oh my God, we don't know why these babies are dying. We don't, you know, we should get to the bottom of this. Somebody should be held accountable. We should find out what's going wrong so that less babies will die. It was, you need to make sure you know your policy.
Thanks to this incredibly brave young woman, it's going to take incredible courage to come out and do this. And just since Michelle has done this, she's really spurned others to come on and follow suit. Our whole human existence for future generations, it doesn't lie in the sperm. It lies in my patients' eggs, ova. This deadly vaccine, masqueraded as a vaccine, genetic therapy, never been tested in pregnancy, violates every rule in obstetrics we've ever heard of.
So there you have a 40% increase in all-cause death in the 18 to 49-year-old category. There you have a massive increase, a 20 times increase in the deaths of unborn babies after the mothers became vaccinated. Now, are you starting to see why the Biden administration conspired and colluded with social media to try and stop the exchange of this information? This is exactly why they did that. And not only did social media and the mainstream media conspire with the Biden administration to stop the exchange of information, they also gave you programs like this, which told you things that were complete and total lies.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them, the virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
So that was just a mercifully short clip of Rachel Maddow from MSNBC. And you might say to yourself, well, who listens to Rachel Maddow and who listens to MSNBC? Millions and millions and millions of people. You may not like her. You may not agree with her. You may not like MSNBC. You may not agree with their positions, but they're very popular with a certain segment of the country. The same segment of the country that put Joe Biden into office. Now, you heard her say that, and this was the official talking point of the United States government, you heard her say that the main reason why you should get vaccinated is to stop the transmission of the virus. And they said these things like it was a proven scientific fact, like they actually did tests. They compiled the information, and then they presented the evidence of the science that showed them that if you got the vaccine, it would stop the transmission of the virus, except for the fact that Pfizer and Moderna never tested to see if it would stop the transmission. Pfizer and Moderna never tested to see if it would stop the transmission. Who knew that? Everybody knew that. Everybody in the Biden administration knew that. Everybody at the CDC and the National Institutes of Health, Anthony Fauci, everybody knew that Pfizer and Moderna had not tested to see if their vaccines would actually stop the transmission. Well, take a listen to this clip from 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
So that was an exchange from the European Parliament from last month, and they asked Pfizer, the representative from Pfizer, they asked him face to face, if you have any evidence that shows that you did testing to prove that your vaccine stops the transmission of the virus, please tell us right now. Well, you heard what she said. They did not do the testing. They didn't have time to do the testing. because it was being pushed through. It was being rushed through. Now, Anthony Fauci, back in the 1980s, he had a very, very different take on vaccines and how quickly they should be rushed through. Take a listen to this clip of Anthony Fauci back in the 1980s talking about why they never rushed out a vaccine for the AIDS virus. Take a listen to this.
Many scientists are beginning to believe that a vaccine against AIDS may be impossible to make and too dangerous to test.
If you take it and then a year goes by and everybody's fine, then you say, okay, that's good. Now let's give it to 500 people. And then a year goes by and everything's fine. You say, well, then now let's give it to thousands of people. And then you find out that it takes 12 years for all hell to break loose. And then what have you done?
That was Anthony Fauci from about 38 years ago talking about why it is so prudent to make sure that you don't rush these things through. Well, something changed along the way, and they came up with a different take. And they come up with the idea that not only do these things, they don't need to take their time anymore, but they bragged about the fact. Remember this clip from about a year and a half ago? Bill Gates bragging that they're rushing it through and not doing the proper testing. Take a listen to this. This will make you mad.
I understand it then from what you're saying is that it may be that there needs to be some compromise in some of the safety measures that would normally be expected to create a vaccine because time is so crucial.
Well, of course, if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years. So whenever you're acting quickly, like during the HIV crisis, they created a quick way of getting drug approval. There is a trade-off there. In that case, it worked super, super well. And here, you know, we will, I think, be able to get some safety indications. But this is a public good. And so, you know, those trade-offs, the governments working on a cooperative basis will be involved in the decision to say, hey, the regulator says go ahead, even though you haven't taken the normal time period.
The regulator says go ahead, even though you haven't taken the regular time period. Now, Bill Gates was talking about the AIDS crisis back in the 1980s. This December 4th is going to be the 34th anniversary of the day that my older brother died. He was diagnosed with HIV AIDS. His name was Bob, and he was diagnosed with HIV, and they immediately put him on a drug called AZT, which was recommended by Anthony Fauci. Within 14 days, my brother had pneumonia, and he was never healthy a day in his life after that. And Anthony Fauci, I believe, is responsible for his, not only for his murder, but for the murder of about 250,000 other people whose doctors told them that according to the National Institutes of Health in the United States, the only way that you can beat this is that you have to take this drug called AZT. And Anthony Fauci, he pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And 250,000 people died as a result of taking this highly toxic and deadly poison in large quantities. So if you think that Anthony Fauci and his collusion and his corruption and his conspiracy and his duplicitous double dealings and his backstabbings and all the other stuff that we talk about Anthony Fauci as being guilty of, Well, you're a little bit late to the party because I've known this about Anthony Fauci for a number of decades now. And just like Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. So you want to talk about people that died suddenly after getting the COVID vaccine? My brother died suddenly after taking Fauci's AZT poison back in the 1980s. And I think that I'm going to do on December 5th, I'm going to devote the podcast to exposing Anthony Fauci and AZT. It's going to be the 34th anniversary of my brother's death. And I think we're going to fire all the rockets that we have about Anthony Fauci. But we are going to focus on Anthony Fauci from the 1980s. Not so much what he's doing now, but we're going to focus on Anthony Fauci from the 1980s. And I think it's really, really going to be an eye-opener. You hear me talk about it, and I have talked about it a lot. But on December 5th, we are really going to bring you the truth about how Anthony Fauci killed 250,000 people through his relentless promotion of a drug called AZT.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing, and he's held back.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
It's 34 years later, and I still choke up. It still brings a tear to my eye. What happened was not right. And on December 5th, we are going to have a Fauci podcast to end all Fauci podcasts. And we're really, really going to blow it up good on Anthony Fauci. So we hope that you will join us on December 5th. As I remember, the 34th anniversary of my brother's death and the person who killed him. So let's just switch gears for a little bit. I hope that this first hour about people who have died suddenly, I hope it was an eye-opener to you. And like I told you, I only played clips of verifiable things, of actual numbers, and I didn't give you any conspiracy theory. I didn't give you anything that if you fact-check it, it's going to go the other way. I gave you the truth, and I hope it was a blessing to you. Now, talking about conspiracy theories, and I will, in the interest of full disclosure, I will admit that I voted for George W. Bush back in 2000 and 2004. I voted for him twice. I wasn't quite as awake as I am now. And I have come to see that George Bush was complicit in the phony invasion of Iraq. Now, I have friends who were over there. I have friends who have been sent to the Middle East, Marines and Air Force and Army. And we greatly appreciate the sacrifice that the men and women of our military perform for us on a daily basis. But you have to remember that when they get sent overseas, they are under orders. If they get sent justly, they have to go. If they get sent unjustly, they still have to go. So I feel bad that the military has to be caught in the middle, and they have to do what their commanding officers and their generals and the Pentagon tells them to do. They got to do these things. But I want to play, this is a really short clip. It's only 34 seconds long. I want to play this clip from about 5 months ago of George W. Bush talking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And in the process of doing that, he throws himself under the bus. Take a listen to this.
Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia, and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq. Anyway.
Did you hear what he said? He's talking about a brutal dictator with an unjust invasion of a foreign country. He was supposed to say the invasion of Ukraine. What did he say? Well, he talked about the dictator with the unjust foreign invasion of Iraq. So this is what we're dealing with. This is the type of country that we become. I told you last week that my carpenter, Tony, he went to San Francisco to spend a couple of days with his daughter and with his family. And when he came back from San Francisco, he was shocked at the homeless population that was on every street corner and the tent cities that were created and all the wacky stuff that he saw. Take a listen to this clip about billions for Ukraine and nothing to solve the problem of homelessness in America. Take a listen to this.
Congress taking quick action, approving a $13 billion deal to help Ukraine.
School districts across our area tell us they're seeing significant increases in children that are homeless.
I'm announcing another $800 million to further augment Ukraine.
A revealing look at homelessness among the middle class.
U.S. have announced new military assistance for Ukraine. They promised an extra $713 million.
We experienced, as a county, a 22% increase in homelessness.
The Senate overwhelmingly passing a new $40 billion Ukraine aid bill.
We are learning the homeless problem we are seeing in Knoxville is growing at an alarming rate.
The U.S. is sending an additional $700 million in military aid.
We're in dire straits. We don't know where we're going to go. We have no savings.
The U.S. is sending an additional $1 billion in weapons and aid to Ukraine.
The CEO of the Coalition for the Homeless of Central Florida tells me this is a scary trend. The
Pentagon announcing today it's sending a new $450 million military package to Ukraine.
Tonight we are going in depth on the issue of homelessness, of course, a growing problem here in Colorado.
The U.S. sending an additional $400 million in military aid.
Rising housing costs and inflation are leading to more people living on the street.
The United States is sending another $1 billion in military aid.
69,000. That's how many people are homeless across L.A. County.
A new aid package is going to be announced tomorrow, including an additional $3 billion to train and equip Ukrainian forces.
Sacramento's homeless population had a jump of 67%.
The White House now asking Congress for more than $13 billion in additional military aid.
More than 2,500 students within the district don't have a place to call home.
Yeah, Katie, and that's 1,000 more from last year.
Well, the Biden administration preparing to send another $600 million military package to Ukraine.
There's a stark warning from city officials tonight as they're seeing a record number of families out on the streets.
$275 million to meet Ukraine's critical security and defense needs.
One L.A. County city is close now to declaring a state of emergency over homelessness.
The White House is also asking for $37.7 billion to fund the war in Ukraine.
Housing prices are up 17% from the previous year, and you can see the fallout of that just right behind me here.
In case nobody's told you, the United States has been at war for the last 6 months with Russia. We are fighting that war through the nation of Ukraine. we are getting very close to having given them $100 billion to fight this war against Russia. You know what they call that? They call that a proxy war. Iran does that through Syria. That's how they fight the nation of Israel. They support the Syrian rebels. They give them the weapons. They give them the training. They give them all the guns and ammunition and bullets and rockets and tanks that they need. And then they have the Syrians go attack the Jews in Israel, but it's really the nation of Iran who is fighting against Israel through Syria. Well, for the past 6 months, the United States has been fighting Russia through the nation of Ukraine. Up in Canada, I want you to listen to this TV commercial from last week. This is what they're focused on in the nation of Canada. Take a listen to this.
Last breaths are sacred. When I imagine my final days, I see bubbles. I see the ocean. I see music. Even now, as I seek help to end my life, there is still so much beauty. You just have to be brave enough to see it.
There it is. That's what the nation of Canada is focused on. They are focused on government-funded assisted suicide, talking about euthanasia. That's a TV commercial from Canada. I'm going to play it again. It's only 30 seconds. The first thing this woman says in this TV commercial is, "Last words are sacred."
Last breaths are sacred. When I imagine my final days, I see bubbles. I see the ocean. I see music. Even now, as I seek help to end my life, there is still so much beauty. You just have to be brave enough to see it.
You just have to be brave enough to allow the Canadian government to put you to sleep like a dog. That's what that woman is saying. You know, this is where we are. This is why we haven't stopped the countdown. Day 987 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Why haven't we stopped the countdown? Well, because the countdown hasn't stopped. What do you want me to do? The New World Order hasn't slowed down. They're still performing all their shenanigans. We can't quit. We can't slow down. As long as they keep doing it, we have to keep reporting about it. But I found that fascinating in a very negative way, that with all the things going on in the world right now, Canada is concerned about killing the sick and the dying of their own population. Canada, it's a shame too, because Canada is such a beautiful country. It really looks just like the United States, just a lot colder. But I've been to Canada. It's a beautiful country. They have great food and great things to do, and there's a lot of really good vacation spots. But man, has that country been taken over by, I don't know what you'd call these people, reptilians, perhaps? I don't know what you'd call them. But I feel really bad because we have a lot of listeners in Canada. And a lot of the street preachers that we pray for every single Sunday, we have five pockets of street preachers up in Canada that we support and that we pray for. And I feel bad for you guys. I really do. But that's just what's going on in Canada. It's going on around the world. And there's really nothing that you can do about it. Big bomb at the box office. Disney released a movie called Strange World about grooming children to accept homosexual relationships at a very early age. Hey, look, if you're an adult and you want to go out and watch whatever kind of movie that you want to watch, and you want to engage in whatever type of lifestyle that you want to engage in, God's your judge. I'm not your judge. But when it comes to children, it's a whole different story. And I think everybody would agree with that. That when it comes to children, we should have a completely different policy. You know why we don't let 10-year-old kids get behind the wheel of a car? Because it's highly likely that they are going to crash that car into a tree or another car or something else. You know why we don't let 12-year-old kids vote? Because they don't really know enough about the issues. Do you know why we don't let underage children consume alcohol? Because their bodies are not mature enough to handle it. And yet, it's okay to encourage an 8-year-old kid to have gender modification procedures. It's okay to encourage a 10-year-old child to start a series of medications that will chemically castrate them. We don't let underage kids do a whole lot of things except cut their body parts off and medically castrate themselves. There's a movie that came out last week for Thanksgiving. It's called Strange World from Disney. Take a listen to what Ben Shapiro has to say about it.
So you've already started to see the press rollout for Disney's Strange World, right? That's going to come out next week just in advance of Thanksgiving. Presumably it'll do big box office because parents won't know what to do with their kids over the Thanksgiving Day weekend. So here is your warning. If you are a parent and you do not wish your kids to see a gay teen romance, don't take your kids to see Strange World. Your choice, your kids. I'm just giving you the heads up. Disney has said that they have a not at all secret gay agenda. They said this publicly, openly, in giant meetings. The heads of Disney talked about their trans kid and their non-gender binary kids and how everybody, your kids, need to be educated in the ways of this sort of subjective individualist sexual culture. It's very important that your kids be indoctrinated into this. Well, we already had Lightyear, which was a dramatic fail at the box office, featuring a lesbian couple targeted at 5, 6, 7-year-old kids. And now Strange World, which is targeted at 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, features a gay teen romance. Isn't this exciting stuff? Because this is what America is truly, the value that I think stands for all of us is gay teen romance for small children. The New York Daily News reported this all the way back in June. Quote, Disney's upcoming adventure film, Strange World, will feature a gay teen romance, the first in an animated feature produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios. Again, the idea here is that Walt Disney has to please its animation employees. This isn't about pleasing the audiences. Where was the broad parental demand for a gay teen romance for kids? Was that something that parents were clamoring for? Oh man, I definitely need to show my 7-year-old two teenage boys wanting to mac on each other. That's definitely, I think, something that the 5-year-olds need. Like, who's that crowd precisely? Where was the market demanding this sort of stuff? The film, which is scheduled to open next week, will follow three generations of a family of explorers and take viewers to a place of infinite mystery, unlike anything you've ever seen. Well, that's a weird promise. Several Hollywood powerhouses have been confirmed as part of the voice cast, including Jake Gyllenhaal, Gabrielle Union, Lucy Liu, Dennis Quaid, and Jabuki Young White. One of the sequences that Disney filmed months ago shows Ethan, who's a 16-year-old, flirting with a boy named Diazo in front of his friends, who tease him in a friendly way. His father, Searcher Clade, who is Jake Gyllenhaal, later joins in and embarrasses him in an overeager show of acceptance. Ah, it's beautiful, guys. Emmy Award-winning producer Matthew Shigeshi, who saw the sequence, wrote on Twitter, the scene is very endearing and it's treated as the most natural thing in the world. The scene describes the son being very shy in front of his boy crush, and his dad comes in and says, so nice to meet you. My son talks about you all the time, and further embarrasses his son. Very cute. Very cute indeed. If this is the sort of stuff that you wish to teach to your kids, which is the idea that all sexual relationships are of the same moral stature, that all human relationships are equivalent in every available way, and that sexuality is entirely biological, except when it's not biological at all and is fluid.
So you just heard Ben Shapiro telling you, and thankfully that film bombed at the box office. Almost nobody went to see it. And they lost about $170 million on the movie so far. And I think that that's a good thing. And I don't know why we can't all agree that children need to be protected. Now, if you're a child and you want to grow up and you want to become a drag queen and you reach the age of 18, 19, 21, and I mean, even that is young, but if you get to the, if you get to be of a legal age and you want to become a drag queen, well, have at it. That doesn't bother me a bit. But whatever happened to protecting the children? Whatever happened to saying that there was an absolute standard of right and wrong? Well, that's because America no longer has an absolute standard of right and wrong. And everybody is talking about, oh, if we can just get Donald Trump back into office, America is going to become great again. Trump is not going to solve one single problem related to the reasons why America is not great. We used to be, but we're not today, because we are not a nation that values life. We are not a nation that values and protects our children. We are a nation that has been split into radical ideologies, and everybody is pushing an agenda. That's what America has become. And if you think any president is going to change that in 2024, you are deceived. That is not going to change. Just don't forget that Donald Trump was the one who created Operation Warp Speed. Donald Trump was the one who said that he was going to get the military to inject the population. These are the things that we accuse the Democrats of, but that's the stuff that Trump did. So if you think that a Trump presidency is going to stop any of these things, they're not. They're absolutely not. Take a listen to this.
Pfizer vaccine. Faith Ranson has been in and out of hospital and suffers almost daily tics after experiencing what a leading doctor admits was an adverse reaction to the vaccine.
From a happy and healthy teenage girl to this. Faith Ranson received the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine in August last year.
3 days later, I woke up one morning to go to school and I started feeling really unwell. Just, I didn't feel right, like something just wasn't right, and I was in a lot of pain.
What followed was months of doctor visits and specialist appointments trying to get to the bottom of the 16-year-old's pain.
It evolves the whole time. So now we've got, you know, nausea, huge weight loss. You know, she just can't keep anything down.
Her parents, both vaccinated, received confirmation from the Tasmanian Specialist Immunisation and Allergy Clinic, which investigates adverse effects to COVID, stating there is no question Faith has had a delayed reaction to the second Pfizer vaccination.
And there you have it. I hope that this program was a blessing to you today. We brought you the truth. What you do with it is up to you, but the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. And that's it. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget, this Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, we are welcoming Brother David Daniels from Chick Publications. He's the guy that took over writing and illustrating the Chick tracks for Jack Chick after he went home. So this Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, we are going to welcome Brother David Daniels into the studio. And until midnight tonight, go to BibleBeliever.com and check out the amazing sale that we have. It's our Cyber Monday sale on some fantastic commentaries, Ruckman Bibles, books by Gail Riplinger, Bill Grady, Jack McElroy. We got Clarence Larkin. Go to BibleBeliever.com and take advantage of our second annual super fantastic NTEB Cyber Monday sale. I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you back here Wednesday at noon Eastern time when we meet with Brother Daryl Daniels. Have a great week, everybody. Nope, David Daniels. Have a good one.
America, America, may God.